Please open your Bibles to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, Acts chapter 16. If you're using the Scofield Reference Bible, page 1171, page 1171, the 16th chapter, reading verses 6 through 9. We'll read these verses all in unison, all of us reading together these four verses, verses 6 through 9. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Noticing, please, in verse 6, the word Phrygia, in verse 7, Mysia, Bithynia. And let's read together now, starting with verse 6. Ready? Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. The text verse is that ninth verse, and let's please pray.
Your heart, I'm going to encourage that heart today. You have a daughter with whom fellowship has been severed. I'm going to encourage that heart today. You have a husband who's not saved, who's broken your heart, and you long to see him in the body of Christ with you. I'm going to encourage your heart today. You have someone for whom you're praying and someone that you'd like to see come to God or get right with God, and they have no seeming sign of interest whatsoever. I'm going to encourage your heart today. I'll not be speaking long because this is the Lord's Supper Day, so I want you to listen carefully. I'll talk quickly and briefly, but I do not know of a more precious truth than that one that I'm going to lay in your lap today. So I ask you to listen for these moments, brief though they may be, that they may be life-changing. Father, bless, I pray, this service and this preacher and this people today. Holy Spirit of God, hover now over us and work in us and through us, and yes, upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul wants to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit says no. Paul then wants to go to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit says no. And all of Paul's plans, as oftentimes are your plans and mine, are thwarted. And Paul is not able to carry out his plans to go to Asia or to Bithynia. He goes to a place called Troas, and there goes to sleep with the Mediterranean water sounding in his ears. He sleeps. During the night, a man comes to him in a vision, a man from Macedonia, or better still, a man, a portion of Europe. And this man says, come over into Macedonia or come over into Europe and help us. Now, who is this man? This man represents all of Europe. He is Europe embodied in one man. And Europe says to the Apostle Paul, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, does this mean that Europe wanted Jesus? Does this mean that Europe was pleading for the gospel? Does this mean that when Paul arrives in Europe, they will say, welcome, Paul, we've been waiting for you, we've been wanting you to come, we're so glad to see you? No, it does not mean that at all. Quite to the contrary, when the Apostle Paul arrived in Europe, he found no one saying, welcome. He found no one saying, we have waited for you. He found a heathen people, not the least bit interested in the gospel of Christ. Now, who then was this man? Who was this man who said, come over into Macedonia and help us? Did not a man representing all of Europe say, come over and help us? Exactly so. Well, why did not Europe receive the apostle when he came? I'll tell you why. This man was the soul of Europe. It was not the visible part of Europe. It was not that of Europe that you could see with your eyes or hear with your ears. This was what I called that other self of Europe. Europe did not know that she wanted the gospel, but Europe did want the gospel.
Europe did not know that she was hungering for Jesus, but she was hungering for Jesus. You see, when Paul saw this vision, and here was the man of Macedonia, this was Europe speaking, but it was the subconscious soul of Europe speaking and not the conscious lips of Europe speaking. Oh, that's an encouragement to me. You know, people oftentimes want what they do not know they want. Did you know people oftentimes are hungry and they do not know that they're hungry? Why, I could stand here this morning and tell you with the hour illustrations of people. I was sitting in an attorney's office not long ago, and that attorney had no hunger for Jesus as far as was visible. He had not voiced any. I had talked to him about the Savior before, but I felt constrained to lead place the claims of Christ on this attorney, and he showed no visible signs of interest, and yet I showed this attorney past middle years the story of Christ. And when I showed him the story of Christ, I suddenly saw a moistened eye, and there was a tear that fell. And in just a few minutes, he hungered for that he did not know he hungered for. He knew he desired something he did not know that he desired, and he came to Christ and received Christ as his Savior. I was down in the city of Mobile, Alabama, and one of our students in Howells Anderson College said, "My father is a leading heart specialist, heart surgeon in Mobile." And he said, "Would you go see my father and tell him about the Savior?" I got in a taxi cab and went to his house. Gorgeous mansion, palatial kind of a thing. And nobody answered the door. And finally I went to his office, and there he was in his office, this leading heart surgeon, one of the leading heart surgeons of the Southland. And no seeming need of the gospel. Why would he need the gospel? He had plenty of money. Why would he need the gospel? He had plenty of prestige. And yet, no seeming sign. But I told him, "I want to tell you a wonderful story." And an angel stood at the door of the office and wouldn't let patients come in. And there we talked for about 15 minutes. And soon I saw a tear. And soon I saw that leading surgeon kneel and pray the sinner's prayer and come to Christ and accept Christ as his Savior. Ah, the Apostle Paul, I'm sure, found encouragement from this. He'd go to Europe. And in Europe, they wouldn't listen to him. And they, "We don't want that." But Paul knew they wanted that, though they did not know they wanted that. Paul knew they were hungry for that, though they did not know they were hungry for that. And they said, "Leave us alone." But down inside, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken can vibrate once more. I'm thankful this morning that there's something working on the inside of you, even if you don't know it's working on the inside of you. "I don't like this church," you say. Yes, you do. You just don't know you do. That's all. That other person does. "I don't believe in Jesus," but that other person hungers. You don't know you're hungry. You don't know you're thirsty. You don't know that you want Jesus, but you do want him. And Paul, when Paul would get discouraged because of the outside, he pressed on because he had seen the inside. And the inside of Europe, the heart and soul of Europe said, "Come over into Macedonia. Come over to Europe and help us." Now, they did not act like they wanted him, but though they did not know they wanted him, they did want the Savior. May I today, for a few minutes, oh, listen, beloved, may I today show you the inside of that wayward son, that son that seems so hard, that son that doesn't write anymore, that son who's broken your heart, and that son who says, "I'm not interested, I'm enjoying my life." May I bear his soul this morning and show you his soul. That son wants to come back. He may not know he wants to come back, but he wants to come back. That son, you have not taught him in vain, and that teaching has not fallen on deaf ears. And I've got news for you. Many a night about 5 or 6 o'clock, he thinks of the table at home. And many a night about 10, 11, 12 o'clock, he thinks of the bed where once he used to rest. And many a night in the morning time, he thinks of Mama and he thinks of Betty. I'm saying, if there's someone that you're burdened about, if you have a wayward son, don't you recall the Bible says the prodigal son came to what? Himself. He didn't know what he wanted, but he wanted to go home. He didn't know it, but he wanted Daddy. He didn't know it, but he wanted to be forgiven. He didn't know it, but he wanted to leave the far country. He didn't know it, but he was fed up with sin. That inner self, that other self, said, I want to come home. Not many years ago, one of our young men who grew up in this church, and he's, by the way, he's on our deacon board today, but he grew up in our church and went into sin. I don't know how deep he went, but he did go into sin. He didn't come to church, and for years he went the way of the transgressor. And one night, that young man came down the hallway of the office building, and he knocked on the door of my study, and he said, Preacher, could I talk to you? Oh, I said, glad to see him. My soul, I was glad to see him. And he came in, and I said, what can I do for you? And he said, Preacher, he said, I'm tired of my life. I want to do right. And I told him, God would forgive him. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so and he started to leave. And I said, I want you to know, son. I want you to know. I want to help you anytime you need me. And he said these words to me that have stuck in my mind. He said, Preacher, I always knew you'd be here. I always knew you'd be here. And this morning I'm talking to some son, some young man, or some man who's found the life of sin. And you say, I'm having fun. You may think you're having fun, but that other self, it's not having any fun. And you say, I don't want that old gospel. I don't want Jesus. You may think you don't want Jesus, but there's that other self, that one that said, come over into Macedonia and help us. There is not a man today on Wall Street. There is not a man today in a palatial throne, on a palatial throne. There's not a man today in any high place, in any university. There is not a man on the face of this earth or a woman on the face of this earth today. But what the soul cries, I want God. I want God. That straying daughter, that's broken your heart. And you wonder, she said, I don't want to come home. I don't want to get right. I like it like I am. She may think she likes it like she is, but there's that other self that doesn't like it like it is. She remembers her room. She thinks of you at mealtime. She often yearns to come home. She knows what she's doing. May I say, see her soul. I remember that young lady came to church, sat right back there one night. And so folks are praying for her. And she got mad and under conviction. And she jumped out and runs it out. And out the parking lot across the street. And she screams, I don't want that! I don't want that! I don't want that! I got news. You may say that, but you don't mean that. Because that other self wants it. God has placed eternity in your heart, and you'll never be satisfied till that's filled with Him who is eternal. And so, somebody on the parking lot, did you know in less than, before the invitation was over that night, she ran back as fast as she ran out, and she walked down this aisle and received Christ as her personal Savior. I was down in Louisiana years ago preaching a revival, and pastor said, Hey, Dr. Brother Howe, I'm going to show you something. He said, watch this. See that man walk? And a man's walking down the street in a suit of clothes, looked like a nice, well-educated man. And I imagine past the third grade at least. And anyway, a fine-looking man, middle-class fella. He said, now watch this. So he pulled up beside this man. And the man looked around and saw it was the preacher and the evangelist. And he began to run. He ran across the field. Just ran. Like a deer running from a hunter. Just ran. He said he does it every time. He says he's in the grocery store. He's getting checked out. If I walk in, he just leaves his groceries and runs. He just runs. And so one day I saw that man during that week of revival. Oh, about Tuesday, I guess. And so I snuck up behind him. And I said, hold it! And I grabbed him with the shoulders. And I said, I'll let you run in a minute. But I said, when you get tired of running, come to see me. On Friday night of that revival, door open. I like to drop dead. There was that fellow walking in the door back there. Invitation time. He came to the front. And the pastor said, can I help you? He said, I want to talk to the preacher. And he came to me and he said, Reverend, I'm tired of running. Yeah. Madeline Murray O'Hare says, young people. Madeline Murray O'Hare says, I don't believe in God. She's lying. That other self believes in God. There's something in Madeline Murray O'Hare in the subconscious, her soul says, come over and help us! That's why her son got saved and now is going around the country testifying about the grace of God. Oh, listen to me. You say, we're not gonna believe that hard crust. We don't believe that because we know what's down. We know what the other self says.
That other self says, I wish I knew Christ. That other self says, I'd like to be right with God. Other self says, I'm not happy in sin. That other self says, I need Jesus.
And so, here's the soul of Europe. A country living in paganism. A country living in atheism. A country living in heathenism. And they said, we don't want you, Paul. And the truth is, when Paul got there, they smote him and they tried to kill him. And he left him many times wounded. And yet the truth is, the soul of Europe said, come over and help us.
Not a rescue mission man this morning, but what the other self says, Jesus, come help me. Not a deaf person back here this morning, but what? But what the soul says, come over and help us. There's not an educated, so-called educated person in this room this morning who looks down on fundamentalism as being somewhat of second-class citizens. The truth is, there are probably more college graduates in this room this morning than all the other churches in Hammond put together. But I'm saying, I look down and say, I don't need that. I don't want that. Oh, listen, soul winner, you got something going for you. Yeah, he does want it too. He may not know he wants it, but he wants it. That straying daughter, that unsaved husband, that other self. I remember years ago I was down in Garland, Texas, soul winning. Went to 137 Avenue F. Man came to the door. Hey, man looked like Ed Wolver. He's not here this morning, is he? Ed Wolver. Sort of an ugly fellow. But reminded me of Ed Wolver. His name was Boyd. And I said, Mr. Boyd, I'm Jack Hiles, pastor of Miller Road Baptist Church here in Garland. And he looked at me, and he said that we're atheists here. We're atheists. That doesn't matter to me. God can save atheists. I can't folks that believe in God. And by the way, there's not a single atheist in the world. He may think he's an atheist, but the soul cries, come over and help us! The soul cries, I want Jesus. And so I said, sir, I said, okay. He said, I don't want to hear what you got to say. I looked inside and saw a little daughter. She had mongoloid-looking eyes. And I said, sir, is something wrong with your daughter? Yes, he said, she's not normal. And I said, okay. I said, even if you don't believe in God, I do. Could I ask my God to bless your daughter before I leave? But he said, I don't believe in God, but he said, I can't keep you from praying. It's free country. Used to be, before the Supreme Court messed it up. But the free country! So I bowed my head and I said, Lord, bless this little girl. God, you love her. You said you love the sick more than the well. You said you love the blind more than you love the seeing. You said you love the deaf more than you love the hearing. And God, you must love this little girl an awful lot. And I heard an atheist sniffle. And I felt an atheist's warm tear on my hand. By the way, that man was a member of our church for many, many years. And moved to Arizona, and now he's going to church out in Arizona. Got a letter from him last year. Said, preacher, I want to tell you, honey, I want to thank you for coming by 137 Avenue F and telling me about Jesus one day. Oh, you see, Brother Hiles, I don't like that stuff. You just don't know, but you do like it, too. That other self likes it. I'll tell you, making it. I'm not making the other self mad. You got an ugly look on your puss that I can see, but you got a puss that I can't see. Hope it's prettier than the one I can. But you got a puss I can't see. You got a self I can't see, and you don't know it. But you want Jesus, and you don't know it, but you wonder at night where you'd go if the heart quit beating. You wonder if there is out yonder somewhere in the grave beyond. You wonder if there is a city. Oh, there is. There is. There's a land that is fairer than they. And by faith we can see it afar. For our Father waits over the way to provide us a dwelling place there. And so the apostles asleep. And up came the man from Europe and said, come over and help us. Come and help us. Come and help us. Paul got there, he found harsh people and mean people and persecuting people and unresponsive people. They fought. But inside, that other self said, come and help me. We went to Holy Land, toured the Holy Land. Went to Dallas, Fort Worth, and Houston, El Paso, and other places in the Holy Land. But anyway, we went to the Holy Land. And on the way, we stopped in Egypt. Dr. Bob Jones Jr. was in charge of the tour, and he asked me, he said, Dr. House, would you preach in Egypt Sunday night? We went to a little gathering of people, must have been about 150 people there, in a big room that they'd made, got an apartment house, made a big room there. And I got up to preach, and to be quite frank with you, that's the hardest looking bunch of people I ever saw in my life. And sitting right in front of me, I mean under me almost, I could reach out and tap them on the head. There were two people, a young man, old man, and they had one of those caps on like that, you know. And they didn't look as nice in it as I do, but they had a cap on like that. And so they blew their nose on their cap then. And sorry about that. I shouldn't have done that. But anyway, I stood there, and there they were, had on their Muhammad caps. And they sat looking at me. And I said, Dear Lord, don't let those two men kill me. One was an old man over almost 80. And another was, I used to say old man 70, no more. But one was a middle-aged man of 70. And but this one man was an older man, and one was a young man. And there they sat there, looking at me like that. And I preached that night on the uniqueness of Christianity. And I said, Christianity is the only religion in the whole world that can show you an empty tomb. Muhammad can't do that. Muhammad can't do that. Buddhists can't do that. I said, but Christianity is the only religion in the world that shows you a virgin-born Savior. And they looked at me like that. I thought they were going to kidnap me and hold me hostage. And after the service, invitation time came. By the way, during the sermon, would you believe it? They had a glass of water right here. And I got excited. Wham! Hit that glass of water. Knocked it right in the lap of the old man sitting there. I was scared of. And baptized him before he got saved. And right in his lap. And did you know what? Invitation time came. First person down the aisle was that old Mohammedan with his cap on. And the young man beside him came. Both of them received Christ. And after the service was over, he was back and a big smile on his face. I didn't know he knew how to smile. Big smile on his face. And they was talking to the pastor, and the pastor was crying. He said, Brother House, he said, you know what he's saying? And I said, no. He's saying, when Heil speak, heart feel warm. When Heil speak, heart feel warm. He didn't know what he was hungry for when he came to church, but he found out the answer before he left. Yes, there is. Oh, you say, I don't believe that stuff. Yeah, you do. The other self does. You just haven't met him yet. Well, you're not gonna tell a bunch of sad stories and get me saved. I got a fifth column working inside you. Yeah, I got some spies down in there. I got that other self. Others, yeah, outside said, I don't want it. Other self said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Outside said, leave me alone. Other self said, don't go. Oh, outside says, have him get through. Other self says, tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I was just not long ago talking to, just a few weeks ago, talking to a brilliant man. And I told him how to be saved. He said to me, I'm an agnostic. I'm an agnostic. And I said, that doesn't matter. God saved a lot of agnostics. And I went ahead and told him about the Savior. And I prayed. And I knew the Holy Spirit had brought out that other self. And that brilliant mind and the agnostic suddenly met his other self and bowed his head and received Christ as his Savior. There's that other self that you have this morning. I'm talking to someone this morning whose signature can transfer millions of dollars from one bank to another. And you say, Listen, a bank goes broke, you're going to be in trouble. Jack, you just won depression from me. If you know what kind of shape that's in, you'd pray every day. Russ, I mean, you just won little depression from living in one of your apartments. Yeah. Hey, but somebody says, I'll tell you, I've got plenty of money. I don't need Jesus. Yeah, but I got news for you. There's a side of you haven't met yet. Yeah, and that side says, I'd like to have Christ. Just yesterday, I read an article about Clint Murchison, that one of the richest men in the world. Clint Murchison, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. But anyway, Clint Murchison. And I read Dr. Evans. Said he lived a wild life, but said recently he had a born-again experience. He quit all his drinking now, all his running around. Behind that man who had a crust of being a playboy, there was a heart that beat and said, come over and help me. Come over and help me. He didn't hear the voice, but there was the voice. And that voice is talking from you this morning. But you say, preacher, I'm educated. But educated folks can burn just like uneducated folks can burn. Educated folks can go to hell just like uneducated folks can go to hell. But you say, I'm self-sufficient. You say that, but there's another you that you don't know about. And though you don't realize it, there's a hunger in your heart for God. I say to two people, the two groups this morning, I say to those of you who prayed that you can't pray anymore. And you think, no hope, he'll never come home. No hope, she'll never come home. No hope, he'll never get right. May I encourage your heart. He's not as hard as he looks. She's not as hard as she looks. There's that other self that says, come over and help me.
I don't want it.
Yes, I do.
Leave me alone.
Don't leave me alone.
Don't bother me.
Please bother me.
I don't believe in this stuff.
I wish I could. There's that other self. May I encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And then to those of you this morning who'd say, preacher, you're not affecting me at all. Yes, I am. If I wasn't affecting, you wouldn't have said that. Yeah, you've been affected. My Bible says that the word of God will not return to me void. Now, you've been affected. You'll never get over this sermon.
But I've heard better sermons than that.
I know. You never get over them either. Yeah. I mean, the old word of God keeps pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding. There's that other self. Why don't you obey that other self today? Why don't you say, yes, it's true. The Bible's true. And that preacher's right. I do want Jesus. I do want to go to heaven. I do want to know I'm saved. I do want to forget my sins forgiven and my name written in heaven. Thank God the Lord Jesus stands at your heart's door, standing and knocking. He's knocked before. This is the question he asks once more. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Obey that other self. Our Heavenly Father.